Ed Hervey, GM of the Esks, joins us now. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing excellent. I talked to a lot of guys leading up to the draft, read a lot of different mock drafts. Most people had Gruel going, if not number one, number two. Do you think teams at the top got scared off about his NFL potential?
I don't think the teams get scared. I think the teams at the top were addressing needs, and they were addressing, sometimes they need an immediate guy to come in right now. But I don't think anyone drafts in fear. I believe that they look at their board and they trust their boards just as we do. And, we're very fortunate to land a really good player regardless of the outcome.
So do you, in a guy like Danny Gruel, do you think he can be a starter right away?
And that's up to him. We feel like he's the most ready of the group, one of the offensive linemen that can come in right now and be ready to play. Now, again, he's got to get used to the speed and the tempo and all the other things that comes with playing professionally. It's a different level of play from where he comes from, but we have full belief that Danny has the ability to come in and show well and contribute, and eventually our hopes is that he can impact the roster in a way where he can effectively change the ratio and help us maintain it.
Ideally, where do you see him? What's his best position on the O-line?
He's going to come in and compete at one of the guard positions, obviously. I mean, we had a void left, with O'Donnell, going to the States. But, he's going to get opportunities to go up and down the offensive line, see where his skill set best serves us. But, realistically, when you look at our offensive line, it's going to be one of the guard spots. I mean, with Simeon's out as well. So wherever he's most comfortable and he's able to, compete and fill in, he'll get an opportunity to compete.
Ed Hervey joins us. So the conversation when you have with a guy like Gruel, you saw him at the combine. What does he do best as an O-lineman right now? And like most guys, what's going to be the biggest adjustment for him going to the next level?
What we like, he's physical, he's smart, came from a good program with Laval, he's mature, he's understanding of football, he's a football junkie, he's a very good run blocker, very good, pass blocker. I mean, all around, we feel like he's got tremendous upside. His best playing days are ahead of him, we believe. And, just the overall, there's some nastiness to him. He's, he loves to be physical, and that's the type of football team we're building here is a team that's going to get after you. It's going to be hard-nosed, and that's going to play to the whistle and at times through it and try to be the most physical team on the field.
Your second pick, David Beard, also on the O-line, Ed. I know I've talked to you ever since you took the job, and you felt that one position you always needed to improve in the draft is your O-line. What's Beard going to bring, and what position is he best suited for?
Beard is very athletic. Probably one of the more athletic offensive linemen in this year's draft. He's extremely smart, and he, too, has tremendous upside. And, again, Jason, you and I had conversations off air about the offensive line in this league and in our the play of the offensive line, especially Canadian offensive linemen. We have to, as a league, be able to develop young offensive linemen if we want to maintain the integrity of the CFL. We want to maintain the ratio as it sits and as people understand it. There aren't many offensive linemen that are coming into this league ready to play right away. There are a few exceptions at times, but all in all, it takes some time and development. And as our offensive linemen get better, these offensive linemen, they see the NFL too as a golden opportunity. So you have to understand, what would we do in the league in a couple of years if all of those top-tier offensive linemen signed NFL contracts? We still have an obligation to protect the quarterback and draft according to how our ratio sits. So when we look at David Beard, we see him, we know he's young at the position. He's only has a couple years at it, but, we're making a commitment there. We feel like he can come in and compete at a guard position, potentially play a tackle at some point if given the opportunity or at least fill in there. But athletically, with his size and his ability, He was just too good to pass up, and especially for a team like ours who is committed to building our team from the inside out, it was just too good of an offensive lineman to pass up where we were.
Ed Hervey joins us, GM of the Edmonton Eskimos, made five selections yesterday in the CFL draft. Were you ever close to making any trades yesterday?
I don't know if close is the word. We're always talking. We're always picking up the phone and sending an email or a text message to one another. But, again, there wasn't much movement because there were players at the top of the draft that teams wanted to have an opportunity to get. And for us that were at the bottom of the first round that was initially trying to move up, we didn't want to mortgage the future to get there. So there's always conversation, but in the end, I think everyone stood pat because they felt like they were going to get the players that they wanted. And for us, I want to maintain our draft picks, especially our early round draft picks as we move forward. And every now and then you have to, move one or trade one to get back to improve your team. But not to the point to where it was going to sacrifice our opportunities in the future.
Ed, your other three picks in the draft, of course, you took two linebackers and a receiver. You took Adam Connor out of Calgary at the linebacker position. You also took with your last pick Blair Smith from Angelo State, the linebacker. And, of course, the other receiver you took was Andrew Johnson. I guess let's start with the linebacker position. When you look at Connor and Smith, are these guys who are predominantly special teams guys? And if they're going to become starting linebackers in the CFL, what aspects of their game need to improve?
Well, as it sits right now, I mean, as far as being starters in this league, there's a ways for that to happen. I mean, they're productive players at their respective schools. They're active. They're both sideline to sideline players. We're always looking for physical, fast athletes to contribute on special teams. And we've had some injuries here in the past couple of seasons, especially last year, where guys have been banged up with nagging injuries, and we just want to insulate ourselves there to make certain that the next group of young special team players are here. And again, it takes a little time to learn the game, but we feel like these two guys, Adam and Blair, are not only prepared to come in, but prepared to come in and compete for a roster spot. And they're really good football players, and as I mentioned before, very productive players as linebackers and as teams players with their respective clubs.
And you have a ton of Canadian receivers. You just acquired Watson from Saskatchewan. So when I look at the depth chart for a guy like Andrew Johnson, man, he's got a lot of guys to climb over.
Well, I would say that everything's not done yet when it comes to that particular group. We'll still have a couple more weeks before we get to training camp. The roster's not completely set yet. Let's just say that.
Okay. Well, if I read between the lines, I'm suggesting there might be a few guys then that won't be here by the time training camp comes around. Is that safe to say?
I think it's safe to say that the roster as you see it today will be slightly different than it is in a couple of weeks.
Okay, all right. And that's an interesting one. And I know that, being a guy who's not far removed from playing, and you've talked about this, you release some guys early, in free agency. You're like, if I know the guy's not going to be able to compete on my team, I don't want to hold him around and cut veterans. Are you looking at trades then, or is this something that just because of the Watson trade, it changed kind of your game plan here in the last few weeks?
You know what? We're always looking to improve our football team, and you never can forecast what you're going to do from free agency. But what I can say is that you get a talent like Corey Watson, it does change the way things are a little bit, whether it be economically or whether it be as far as how your roster is shaping up. But all in all, sometimes the decisions that you want to make are not there until an opportunity like this comes, and then next thing you know, you're forced to make a decision or two. And we're at that point to where we have some tough decisions that we may have to look at. But again, It's about improving the football team and giving ourselves the best chance we have at at competing at a high level this season. So, you can't make promises to yourself that you're not going to do something or going to do something in this business, but you have to maintain the philosophy, which we have always, of always looking to improve our football team, even through the offseason, all the way to and through the season itself.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Edmonton Eskimos, joins us. Ed, what about some of your other positions? Do you still have a few guys you're going to announce coming into camp, or is your roster pretty much set?
Yeah, there'll be a few more announcements here in the next couple of days. We want to have everything done. We need to get to the draft to see where our roster would shape up. And now, within the next 4 or 5 days, I'd like to have all that finalized, whatever moves we need to make, have it done, give everyone an opportunity to know where they sit, rest comfortably, book the flights, get them ready for training camp, get their minds together, and for myself, take a little time off and go, play with my family and niece for a bit and enjoy a movie or two and then get back to work.
Do you get to watch Frozen with your niece?
No, actually, my niece and I went to watch a movie last summer, and I mean the line was extremely long. I think it might have been either that or that second Night at the Museum 2. One of those movies was out, and I mean the line was so long I thought they were handing out money at this line. Her and I decided to go to the arcade where we spent an hour around, and and she was schooling me on all the new games and stuff, and then we had a little ice cream at Steak and Shake, and I went back to taking care of business, but I look forward to that, spending time with her. It's a great time for me.
How old is your niece now?
She's 8.
She'll be schooling you on life decisions very quickly.
Actually, at times she does. She's always asking why, and I says, don't read that stuff.
does she ask you, why are the Lakers struggling, Uncle Ed?
She knows why the Lakers are struggling right now. The league messed up that trade a few years back that could have gave us Chris Paul. She knows. Uncle Ed makes sure she's aware of all this stuff.
Well, what's interesting, speaking of that trade they didn't allow, you see New Orleans fires their coach after a pretty successful year. The guy that Davis is very close with, and he's 1 year away from restricted free agency. They could have almost a repeat performance losing their franchise guy that early.
Well, L.A.'s always looking for a player like that.
Yeah, I would think a lot of guys would be looking for Anthony Davis. Quickly, I know you're a huge NBA guy. Give me your thoughts on which team do you like right now to win?
Well, when I was on your show last time, I picked the Spurs, and they lost in that game to the Clippers. The Clippers are looking pretty good. But right now, it's just you can't really tell who's going to do anything in the NBA because it doesn't seem like there's an overall top team. But I'll say this, the team with the best player usually wins. And as long as LeBron is playing, you got to look at him and you got to look at Golden State. So those are the two teams that I'm going to go with now. And I don't think anyone could beat LeBron when he decides to turn his game on.
Well, yeah, if Cleveland wins without Kevin Love, I'm sure that organization's like, do we really need to overpay this guy in free agency? Probably not.
Yeah, I would imagine that. But, again, long term, right? Long term.
Yeah.
But it is still Cleveland, so you never know.
Well, it will be interesting. So, when can Eskimo fans expect the decisions for the remainder of your roster? Do you want to get it done so you can get a week off? Is that kind of your plan to get it all done so when you go away, you actually don't have to work?
That is exactly the plan. So, I'm hoping to, I'm going to be working really hard here in the next few days and get my staff to help out and try to get it out as soon as possible.
Ed, always good to talk to you. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.